We'll return to the other two T's later.
Thank you. Let us pray. Loving God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to speak and us to hear your living word. On your people pour your power and grant that each one of us may be touched and moved in the way that you want us to go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Ephesians 5, chapter 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As Andy has just said, over the next few weeks we're going to be going through a series on talents and time and giving. The three things that God calls us to give are time, talents, and tithing, or giving of money. In a lifetime, the average person in the UK will spend 6 months sitting at traffic lights, 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for misplaced objects, 2 years unsuccessfully trying to return phone calls, 5 years queuing in lines, 6 years eating, and most surprisingly or not, 21 years watching television. An article once published entitled, "If You Are 35, You Have 500 Days to Live." The article went on to contend that when you subtract the time you spend sleeping, working, tending to personal matters, eating, travelling, cleaning up, attending to personal hygiene, and adding in the miscellaneous time stealers, in the next 36 years, you will only have 500 days to spend as you wish. Think about how you spend your time. When all of the necessary things are done, how much time is left? God did not give all of us the same amount of talent, nor the same amount of wealth. But he has given us each the same amount of time. Imagine that a bank credits your account each morning with £86,400. No balance is carried over from day to day. Any balance is deleted each evening. What would you do knowing that you would not use all of your daily balance? Why, most people would withdraw every penny, of course. You have such a bank, and so do I. The name of our bank is Time. Every day, we are credited with 86,400 seconds. Every night, that which we have not used, sorry, each night, when we haven't made best use of them, they're debited from our account. The Time Bank allows no overdraft. There is no going back for a second chance. Time Bank does not allow borrowing from tomorrow. And of course, there are no leftovers. The clock ticks away, never waiting for anyone to catch up. Time is money, we say. But in reality, time is not money. If you lose money, you can always make it in some other way. Time is not a renewable resource. Whatever time we have lost is gone forever, never to re-return to us again. Time is infinitely more valuable than money will ever be. All of us realise the value of time. How do we value 1 year? Ask a student who's failed a course. What is the value of 1 month? Ask a mother whose baby arrived prematurely. How much do we value 1 week? For the sailors trapped in a submarine on the ocean floor, it was the difference between life and death. How much do we value 1 hour? Ask someone who missing a connecting flight because the first flight was delayed by an hour. How much do we value 1 minute? Ask someone who was choking in a restaurant when a paramedic was sitting next to them at the next table. How much do we value 1 second? Ask an Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying by 0.03 of a second. Because we value time so much, we usually try to save it and manage it. We save time by using microwaves and automatic dishwashers. Some people save time by taking non-stop flights, paying others to do their gardening, housekeeping, or ordering through catalogues or shopping online, rather than standing in a line, and a host of other ways. Some people take time saving to ridiculous extremes. I'm told and heard of an American funeral company that came up with a plan for those who were too busy to go inside the funeral chapel to view the deceased or to attend a funeral service. Appalling as that may sound. Their proposal was to install a drive-through viewing window for people who don't have the time to bid farewell inside. And the funeral director defended it by saying, "People are too busy these days with work. This is just one way of making it easier for them." I can't help thinking, I hope we never turn to that sort of situation here. It is interesting that when we look at the Bible, we do not find a lot of emphasis on saving time or managing time. So the proposal is we're called to be good stewards of all that God has given us. And that includes time. But more than that, in the words of the Apostle Paul, as I said earlier from Ephesians 5, we're called to redeem the time. So what does it mean to redeem this time? The word redeeming can be translated as buying up or purchasing. The word time is not the Greek word chronos, which means clock time, that is measured in hours, minutes and seconds. But it is the Greek word kairos, which means time as regarded in its strategic, epoch-making, seasonable, opportune seasons. In other words, rather than being called to be good time managers, we're called to be good opportunity managers. It is not just the time, but also the timing. It is not just counting the minutes, hours, days, months and years, but making the minutes, hours, days, months and years count. Tomorrow, we will be given more hours, but we may never have the same opportunity again. In the days before modern harbours, a ship had to wait for a flood tide before it could come into port. The term for this situation in Latin was obuportu. That is, a ship standing over off a port, waiting for the moment when it could ride in the turn of the tide to harbour. The English word opportunity is derived from this original meaning. The captain and crew were ready and waiting for that one moment, for they knew that if they missed it, they would have to wait for another tide to come in. Author and theologian Terry Muck tells of a letter he received from a man who used to have absolutely no interest in spiritual things. He lived next door to a Christian. They had a casual relationship, like neighbours often do. Then the non-Christian's man's wife was stricken with cancer and died 3 months later. Here's the letter. "I was in total despair. I went through the funeral preparations and the service like I was in a trance. After the service, I went to the path along the river and walked all night. But I did not walk alone. My neighbour, afraid for me, stayed with me all night. He did not speak. He did not even walk beside me. He just followed me. When the sun finally came up the river and over the river, he came over to me and said, 'Let's go for some breakfast.' I go to church now, my neighbour's church. A religion that can produce that kind of caring and love my neighbour showed me that loving my neighbour is something that I want to find out more about. I want to be like that. I want to love and be loved like that for the rest of my life. What made the difference in this man's life? It was that one Christian dared to make the most of the opportunity he had to reveal Christ to his friend. There were few words, but the message came through. He had learned how to redeem the time. How about you and me? How are we handling this precious gift of time that God has given to us? Are we still hung up on saving it or managing it? Or have we moved towards redeeming it? Are you blinded by the problems you have with lack of time? Or do you focus on the opportunities God is opening up before you every day? No one on their deathbed ever said, "I wish I'd spent more time at work," or "I wish I'd spent more time playing on the PlayStation," or "I wished I'd spent more time listening to the latest Stormzy CD." God desires for us to make the best use of our time by spending time with him and serving him, spending time with his people, loving them and serving them. I believe our true worship is represented by what we give our time to. If we spend our time serving God and his people, then our worship is directed toward God. We have redeemed the time and made the most of the opportunities that have been presented to us. But if we spend our time on selfish indulgences, then our worship actions do not match our words. We can't take anything with us. It will fly off on the way up or burn off on the way down. How will you use every gift the Father has given you, including your time? So to conclude, one day our time on earth will come to an end, and we will be asked to give an account of how we invested the time and the gift of the time that was given to us. We will not be asked how well did we save the time. We will not be asked to prove how well we did in managing time. We will be asked how well we did in redeeming the time, in making the most of the opportunities that God sends our way. The Apostle Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." What will you say? Amen.